Well, welcome on this 12th of January, or the 11th of 2023. We've got two brother Dicks. It's a privilege to have both. Glad you could join us, and I hope that this day or night is finding you well in the Lord, and your week is being one of victory through Jesus. We're chosen for our song, perhaps a fitting one. Well, they're all fitting. Brother, O brother, O sister, be faithful. O brother, be faithful, soon Jesus will come, for whom we have waited so long. O soon we shall enter our glorious home, and join in the conqueror's song. O sister, be faithful, for why should we prove unfaithful to him who had shown such deep, such unbounded and infinite love, who died to redeem us his own?
O brother, be faithful, the city of gold, prepared for the good and the blessed, is waiting its portals of pearl to unfold, and welcome thee into thy rest. And sister, be faithful, not long shall we stay in weariness here and forlorn. Time's dark night of sorrow is wearing away. We haste to the glorious morn.
Oh, brother.
Oh, brother.
Go ahead, brother.
Oh, brother, if all eternity's years shall tell for thy faithfulness now, when bright smiles of gladness shall scatter thy tears, a coronet gleam on thy brow. O sister, be faithful, the promise is sure that waits for the faithful and tried to reign with the ransomed, immortal and pure, and ever with Jesus abide.
O brother, be faithful, he soon will descend, creation's omnipotent king, while legions of angels his chariot attend, and palm wreaths of victory bring. O sister, be faithful, and soon shalt thou hear thy Savior pronounce a glad word. Well done, faithful servant, thy title is clear to enter the joy of thy Lord.
Amen. Thank you, dear brethren and sisters. Amen. Everything in Jesus is yea and amen. And isn't it a wonder, isn't it wonderful to think that as our knowledge of God in eternity grows, our love for him grows, so the rule goes right now in this life, this mortal life, that is really in comparison, is not worthy to be compared with the exceeding great reward that shall be revealed hereafter. Well, let's have a word of prayer before we continue our journey through the book of Revelation. Will you join me? Precious Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of being able to meet at any time with you and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the angelic help in the preservation of temporal and spiritual and moral life. Thank you for showing us everywhere about us, despite what sin has wrought, your plan of redemption and the mercies that we have all about us that indeed show us that there is a great controversy going on between good and evil, light and darkness, Christ and Satan, whose names we actually know and what they mean defined by God himself. Thank you, Jesus, for holding out your word to us, and that the more we overcome through you, the more we will understand your love, and the more we can intelligently praise you and grow in the knowledge and will of God into maturer Christians who are preparing for the greatest event to ever occur in history. Thank you that we get the privilege of doing this with others, and thank you for correspondences with people we've known for perhaps decades or a couple of years or maybe just recently come across, that buoy up our spirits when they show a positive response, a positive question, and rather than being negative. And even if that should happen, may we have the grace to meet it with love, to love them to Jesus and help them see Jesus in us, including the unbeliever, including the atheist, the agnostic, and all the other isms that exist. But they'd see the difference. It's not just difference, but it's a better and best difference that happens to one who's following the light of the world, the bread of heaven, the shepherd of our souls. We thank you for preserving our dear sister Lucy and other brothers and sisters with their different ailments that some of us have. We thank you for enabling us to get through another half of the week and making it possible to meet not only in person but online. Please help us glean from one another what we simply can't, because we don't have as much time with one another that we would if we lived around the corner from one another. Help us believe like we do live around the corner, as it were, that will not stop us, but empower us to prepare all the more earnestly, because we see so little perhaps interested in the truth, and remembering that we cannot judge motives, and that many will deny, but many will receive too. It reminds me, God, of the scattering time and the gathering time that the early Adventists experienced, and may we get courage to realize that the Holy Spirit is able to direct us exactly where we need to go, doing exactly what we need to do, saying exactly what we need to say, and so have the smiles of God instead of his frown. We seek this and we want to understand the book of Revelation better, and we're asking for illumination of the Holy Spirit to guide us as we look at Holy Writ in our own language, and as brothers and sisters meet around the world, in person and over on media platforms, that each will be blessed as if we were in the presence of God, because it is thus when we acknowledge that you are God. Jesus Christ is our Savior. The Holy Spirit is his representative, and we have the privilege of being in him and he in us. Jesus, we thank and pray. Well, welcome once again, brethren. Glad to be here. And let's review what we looked at last week briefly. We looked at verses 12 to 16 of chapter 19 of Revelation. And we looked at the fact that in executing divine justice on those who persist in rebellion against the government of heaven, Jesus is the same word of God when he came the first time. He came to earth with the gracious of the divine mercy. Soon he's coming in an expression of divine will to execute divine justice. We're told in Psalm 33 verses 6 and 9, by the word of the Lord, the earth and its inhabitants were brought into being. And now by the same word of Jesus' mouth, of course, he made the world with the Father and, of course, the Holy Spirit, Genesis chapter 1. He terminates their existence, as we will read in verses 20 and 21. And a good point brought out as well was in verse 15. We're told that, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. We know that the general harvest of grapes represents the wicked. Here, that terminology of the wine press, and they receive punishment, or the treadeth, if you will, in that verse, which has a squiggly line under it because they don't like the look of that as a word spelt correctly. Old English. The first fruit grapes of Revelation 14 verse 4 represent the 144,000, and they're saved from punishment and the treading, because they are the first fruits, and they're not part of the general harvest of grapes, which constitute the wicked, that receive treading in the wine press, which involves the wrath of God. We also looked at 1 Timothy 6:15 in regards to the term King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which in his times he shall shew who is that blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We know that Jesus Christ is called King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the scriptures and spirit of prophecy. And now, at this point in time in verse 16, when he leaves the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary, so he's coming for his people, having finished the work of cleansing the heavenly sanctuary of the records of sin his people have committed by blotting them out, through repentance on our part and overcoming through his grace. He now wears the name King of Kings and Lord of Lords on his vesture at thigh height. That's going to be good to be looking at that without the concern that we are lost, but that we are saved. Last week, I was going to share some quotations with you. I think it's about three or four from the Spirit of Prophecy dealing with what we've looked at so far in Revelation 19. So I think we might go there now. I've put a line to divine, to divine, to divide. I don't do divining. To divide our one's comment to the next. But if anyone would like to read the lot, feel free. I'd love to hear from you.
terribly will they, will that prayer be fulfilled in the great judgment day when Christ shall come to the earth again. Not as a prisoner surrounded by a rabble will men see him. They will see him then as heaven's king. Christ will come in his own glory and in the glory of his Father and the glory of the holy angels. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands of angels. The beautiful and triumphant sons of God, possessing surprising loveliness and glory, will escort him on his way. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. Then they, every eye shall see him, and they also that pierced him. In the place of a crown of thorns, he will wear a crown of glory, a crown within a crown. In place of that old purple kingly robe, he will be clothed with raiment of whitest white, so as no fuller on earth can whiten. There's the white uses a verb. Mark 9:3. And on his vesture and on his thigh, a name will be written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 19:16. Those who mocked and smote him will be there. The priests and rulers will behold again the scene of the judgment, in the judgment hall. Every circumstance will appear before them as if written in letters of fire. Then those who prayed, his blood be on us and on our children, will receive the answer to their prayer. Then the whole world will know and understand. They will realize who and what they, poor, feeble, finite beings, have been warring against, period. In awful agony and horror, they will cry to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Revelation 6:16-17. Continue or stop?
If you'd like to continue, Brian, yeah, so that's from Desire of Ages, page 739, where Brother Dick just read from.
Mm-hmm. Soon there appears in the east a small black cloud, about half the size of a man's hand. It is the cloud which surrounds the Savior and which seems in the distance to be shrouded in darkness. The people of God know this to be the sign of the Son of Man. In solemn silence they gaze upon it, as it draws nearer the earth. Got it. Becoming lighter and more glorious until it is a great white cloud. Its base a glory like consuming fire, and above it the rainbow of the covenant. I bet the LGBTQ group won't claim that time. Jesus rides forth as a mighty conqueror. Not now a man of sorrow, to drink the bitter cup of shame and woe. He comes, victor in heaven and earth, to judge the living and the dead. Faithful and true, in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And the armies which were in heaven, Revelation 19:11-14, follow him with anthems of celestial melody. The holy angels, a vast unnumbered throng, attend him on his way. The firmament seems filled with the radiant forms, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. No human pen can portray the scene. No mortal mind is adequate to conceive its splendor. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise, and his brightness was as the light, Habakkuk 3:4. As the living cloud comes still nearer, every eye beholds the Prince of Life. No crown of thorns now mars that sacred head, but a diadem of glory rests on his holy brow. His countenance outshines the dazzling brightness of the noonday sun. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 19:16 and Great Controversy 6:40. Before his presence, all faces turn into paleness. Upon the rejecters of God's mercy falls the terror of eternal despair. The heart melteth, and the knees smite together, and the faces of them all gather blackness. Jeremiah 36 and Nahum 2:10. The righteous cry with trembling, who shall be able to stand? The angel's song is hushed, and there is a period of awful silence. Then the voice of Jesus is heard, saying, my grace is sufficient for you. The faces of the righteous are lifted up, and joy fills every heart. And the angels strike a note higher and sing again as they draw still nearer the earth. Great Controversy 6:41. The King of Kings descends upon the cloud wrapped in flaming fire. The heavens are rolled together as a scroll. The earth trembles before him, and every mountain and island is moved out of its place. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge the people. Psalm 50, verse 3 and 4, Great Controversy 6:41. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the rocks and mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Revelation 6:15-17, Great Controversy 6:42. What's your pleasure, brother? Shall we share it with somebody else?
Well, it's so good that your internet still works, bro. You better keep going.
Okay. Christ is coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Who will meet him in peace? Who will be among the number to whom the words apply? He shall come to be glorified in his saints and be admired in all them that believe. HP 357. Somebody forgot to capitalize the personal pronoun there. It is called the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. His coming surpasses in glory all that the eye has ever seen, far exceeding anything the imagination has conceived, will be his personal revelation in the clouds of heaven. Then there will be a perfect contrast to the humility which attended his first advent. Then he came as the Son of the infinite God, but his glory was concealed by the garb of humanity. Then he came without any worldly distinction of royalty, without any visible manifestation of glory. But at his second appearing, he comes with his own glory and with the glory of the Father, and attended by the angelic hosts of heaven. In the place of that crown of thorns which marred his brow, he wears a crown within a crown. No longer is he clad with the garment of humility, with the kingly old kingly robe placed upon him by his mockers. No, he comes clad in a robe whiter than the whitest white. Upon his vesture and thigh, a name is inscribed, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Heavenly Places 357. As the representatives of God, Christ appeared, as the representative of God, Christ appeared in human flesh. Though in the form of a man, he was the Son of God, and the world was given an opportunity to see how it would treat God. Christ declared, he that has seen me has seen the Father, John 14:9. But when he comes the second time, divinity is no longer concealed. He comes as one equal with God, as his own beloved Son, Prince of heaven and earth. He is also the Redeemer of his people and the life giver. The glory of the Father and the Son are seen to be one, then shall he shine forth before his ancients gloriously. Isaiah 24:3. I've heavenly places 3:57. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, bro. Very interesting, isn't it? The amount of information provided. We can find it all in the Bible. Well, that starts us off for verse 17, but I'll just ask, does anyone have anything they want to share on what was just shared before we move forward?
What a difference, his first and second coming. Then the priests and rabbis and Pharisees and soldiers will get to look on him and see him as he really is. Why won't they be sad that day?
Yes, indeed. And all those that have fought Christ since that time, that have been agents of Satan to keep people from coming to Christ. Well, who would like to read verses 17? Oh, we've got a picture. Verses 17. And 18 to us all. And any comments, questions, insights anyone wants to share, please feel free to share.
You know, I think that the whole Roman Catholic system, do you imagine they are deceived? Or do you think that they know what they're doing? And like Lucifer or good Satan, they're going to do it no matter what. Penalty, when it comes, it comes. In the meantime, we're going to do our worst to hurt anybody that honors Christ. I can't believe that everybody is ignorant of what they're doing. The people, the laity, yeah, but not the leaders.
Well, that's interesting you bring up. I guess it reminds me of the terms, is this person deceived or are they lying? Seems to be the two options, or are they ignorant? Or maybe that's the third. Ignorance, lying, or deceived. I guess deceived could come under ignorance. But I hear what you're saying, bro. I mean, they should know a lot more, the leaders. But there have been instances, which I know you're aware of, where leaders, we just have to look at the Reformation, right? But of course they left the Catholic Church or were killed in the process of sharing the need for Reformation and following Jesus and his word. But there have been instances, high and low, coming out of apostasy, as we know. Whatever station of life, comment in the room, even a lie can be told so often that it is really believed to be true. And I think that reminds me of a comment from Hitler's general, who said, you know, you tell the lie often enough and they start believing it. They'll believe it. And we've perhaps seen that played out more so recently.
Lies and liquor go together. A person who's not in their right mind can't hear the truth and evaluate it coherently.
Hey, man, we want to avoid the wine of Babylon, don't we? So we can give them the bread of the gospel and the sweet wine of the truth.
And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great.
Amen. That is one big feast. If you were a bird, that's how you'd see it. What a picture is drawn here. I was going to put in some scripture quotes here in relation to this event, looking at the two sides that will exist when this takes place. I'll put it in the room. And we're told in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, remember where the angel is. The angel, I think it's brought, yeah, you can see the angel in the sun. It's going to be very bright and tempestuous about Jesus. And we're told the following from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, who the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 to 10. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, so knowledge and obedience, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Would someone like to read the other quotes?
And the kings of the earth.
Oh, no takers? Go ahead, Joan.
I guess I was a little late. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand?
It's interesting, they recognize him as the Lamb. Wonder how that is.
Yes, the knowledge of the truth about the plan of redemption in only Jesus is known and understood by the last generation. It's gone worldwide. They've made their decisions against Christ and his merciful plan to save them from their sins.
You still looking for a reader? I like to read. Our God shall come, Psalm 50, verse 3. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A Fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. 14. What's that? 14. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell in the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell in the everlasting burning, dwell with everlasting burning? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppression, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. So it's going to be hot, but it won't be a burning hot, I guess. He shall dwell on high. Yeah. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His water shall be sure. Then I shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Isaiah 33:14-17. Oh, okay.
Amen. So there are people that's going to be able to behold the beauty of God, but there are others who will not be able to. And that's what we're looking at, isn't it? In the verses we're looking at, verses 17 and 18. So the angel, as you can see in the picture, it's a bit grainy, but you can see it. The angel's in the sun. He issues the challenge in verse 17. And it sounds like he's next to Christ. In ancient combat, the armor bearer would be near his Lord. So that would fit as an angel that's on God's side, of course. We also have Revelation 19, verses 17 and 18, which Brother Bob just read, couched in the graphic oriental phraseology of a challenge to personal combat, which was displayed by David and Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 44 to 46. So to be devoured by the scavengers, so you're not buried, the scavengers of the skies constituted one of the curses for disobedience pronounced by Moses in his valedictory address to the people of Israel, which is found in the curses in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 26 to be specific. John's phraseology in these two verses appears to be based on God's words to the heathen nations of earth as recorded in Ezekiel 39 verses 17 to 22. It's very similar, which we're not surprised about. John basing it, his visions with the text didn't disagree with what came before because it's the same author, the Holy Spirit, and could be compared with Jeremiah chapter 7 verses 32 to 33. So what you can see there's an alternative here. It's a huge supper, but it's not. You've got the gruesome alternative to eating at the marriage supper of the Lamb presented here. We're all invited to that, Revelation 19:9, but we don't have to come. It's to be, the other alternative is this gruesome one, which is to be eaten by the fowls of heaven at the supper of the great God. Those who do not voluntarily accept God's gracious invitation to be present at the one must respond or receive the imperative summons to the other. Interesting quote from Uriah Smith on this chapter. It's page 736 from Daniel and Revelation. He says, in Revelation 16, verse 17, we read of the seventh vial being poured out into the air, from which it was inferred that as the air envelops the whole earth, that plague would be universal. May not the angel standing in the sun and issuing his call from there to the fowls of heaven to come to the supper of the great God denote that this proclamation will go wherever the sun's rays fall upon this earth? That's from Uriah Smith. We know it's going to feed all the fowls, but there's so much, and then there's not going to be anything left, and then eventually they will die as well, won't they? Well, flesh of horses is included, and it's a graphic word picture brought out of the total destruction of all the forces of evil at the second coming of Christ. They no doubt have more than horses using in their battle. Excuse me. So the armies are assembled in verse 19, for battle and engaged in bitter conflict among themselves as well. They actually end up turning against themselves, which we read a little back when we were in Revelation 16. And that's Revelation 16, verse 19. That brings that out, the breaking up of Babylon into three, the cohesion no longer existing of these three apostate powers, which really are run by the devil, but have different terms expressing it in our day. What a blessing it is that we can use the symbols and understand them, which is God's will. And then, of course, this is the war of all wars. Or would we say it's after the 1,000 years when they surround the Holy Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem? Well, on this side of the first resurrection, it's the war of wars. It's the war that is the battle of that great day of God Almighty, which we read in Revelation 16:14. Often called the Battle of Armageddon. Now, put the question out there, how do human, now this is very graphic, and a lot, of course there's a lot of symbology, as we know, in this chapter, but the chronology is in fitting with Revelation 18, which we brought out when we started this chapter, that it's a continuation after Revelation 18 occurs. Excuse me. We have Christ in Revelation 19 and 20 and 21 are chronological, as we will see as we continue from that chapter, from this chapter to the next. But how do human beings attack heaven's king and his army? How do, now I know this is symbolic, but how would you, if someone were to ask you, how do human beings attack heaven's king, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and his army? We know the army are the angels. How do they, you know, as it's obviously near the end of the world's history, you know, very little left to happen. They have come back. It's symbolically presented here. And, of course, one could answer by opposing his truth, which, of course, the lost are guilty of, and oppressing his people that have that truth, that have been sanctified through that truth, through the truth, and are prepared to receive him. Any thoughts, any questions, comments, anyone wants to share?
I'm looking at the pictures, and that black cloud looks like a big bird, and it's touching mountains and streams and lakes and the ground. And then it says the angel standing in the sun saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together under the supper of the great God. And he tells them to eat the flesh. All these dead people, I'm assuming these people are all dead. And I thought, God didn't overlook anything. He's got a cleanup crew of all the fowls of heaven to get rid of the dead people. And besides the fire that burns everything up and makes ashes, but the devil has to sit there for 1,000 years before the end really comes. He's got to be in a desolate world with nobody. And then when the people come back to life, and I'm jumping ahead to other verses, the great battle takes place. And I'm assuming that's what this one is talking about, because God cleans the world up then. It's kind of an amazing thought that birds are going to clean up the dead people.
Thank you, sis, for those comments. That leads us, why don't we read those two verses, the next two verses that give us more detail about what's connected to verses 17 and 18. Would someone like to read it?
And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone.
Amen. Thank you, sis. So we see here the figure, the beast figures quite largely to the end of this world. The kings of the earth who get deceived and their armies, you know, representing all the nations on the earth, kings or leaders, if you will. They're gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. The beast was taken, the false prophet that wrought miracles. And we would ask, of course, who's that beast? Who's the beast that's referred to there? We know that this is brought out in Revelation 16, that it could be none other than the Roman Catholic Church. And then who's this false prophet that wrought miracles? We know there's only one, there's the bringing out of miracles. They're real. That's mentioned in Revelation 13. So we have a battle following Christ's appearance. It's short, dramatic, but the beast and the false prophet are captured straight away. They don't go anywhere. They're not going to hide in some bunker somewhere and get away. Amen. Apostate Protestantism, the false prophet. Apostate Protestantism, which is deluded by Satan and cooperates with him, and they perform miracles. They do this in the name of God, and it's especially brought out that that happens in the very, you know, the second beast mentioned in Revelation 13, in this conglomeration of the full height of its apostasy, Protestantism, because it's continually growing by the minute. And through the rejection of the truth, then those who reject more light, the darker that they produce in their actions and their beliefs. Now, we know that a prophet is one who speaks on behalf of another. This so-called prophet speaks on behalf of the first beast in connection with the healing of its deadly wound, none other than the Catholic Church, to persuade the world to unite in allegiance to it. The Catholic Church is deceived by its miracles, as we have brought out in verse 13. They go, wow, you know, there's no doubt. We're with you if you're with us. And of course, that is the case. They're both together. We have a lake of fire brought out here. Now, this is before the millennium. I mean, this is not after, is it? If we're looking at it chronologically. So this phrase immediately turns the reader's mind to an identical phrase in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, where it's also used there, which in turn seems to call for the conclusion that these phrases refer to the same fiery event, namely the destruction of the wicked at the end of the 1,000 years. But to do so presents a problem. What's the problem? That there's two lakes of fire. The 19th chapter is most evidently discussing events in connection with the second coming of Christ. Hence, to hold that the lake of fire mentioned in chapter 19, verse 20 describes an event at the close of the millennium is to lift this verse out of its contextual sequence. It is always better, if possible, to find an explanation that allows any given statement to maintain its historical sequence in a passage of scripture. So as regards verse 20, chapter 19, verse 20, this is possible on the reasonable premise that there is a fiery judgment from God, both at the beginning and at the close of the millennium. There is no inconsistency. In fact, there are many scriptures one could produce bringing this out. We read a few earlier on about how fiery it's going to be at the appearing of God and how everything's going to be thrown out of its natural order. So as regards chapter 19, verse 20, this is possible on the reasonable premise that there is a fiery judgment from God, both at the beginning and at the close of the millennium. There is no inconsistency and certainly no contradiction in speaking of a lake of fire at the beginning and a lake of fire at the end of the millennium. James White, the well-known pioneer, husband of Ellen White, wrote thus on this point. And he said, he wrote this in Review and Herald, January 21, 1862. He said, so, if you please, there are two lakes of fire, one at each end of the 1,000 years. And a comment in the room, a small lake of fire at the beginning of millennium and the whole earth becoming a lake of fire at the end of the 1,000 years. That's another way you could look at it. I mean, the wicked are all over the earth when Christ comes the second time. We know that the second lake of fire cleanses everything, sin and sinners from the world. So it has to be complete and it has to be stronger, if you will, or bigger as a comment in the room. But it seems that, it seems like there's to a point it is worldwide nevertheless, the second coming, but it's nothing to be compared with the third because of what it accomplishes. I just don't want to be there. It'd be good to look at it, see God's recreation take place, but not to be in it. We know there's degrees of punishment. Of course, Satan will be the last to expire in it. Any further thoughts? Any comments? Any questions? Any insights?
Yeah, when you try to grasp the idea that the beast is Catholicism, it's a system. The false prophet is apostate Protestantism, it's many systems united together. And yet these two systems are thrown into the lake of fire at the second coming. And because they're systems, it has to be the leaders of those systems that are thrown into the lake of fire, because the laity of these systems didn't play a part in deceiving the whole world or in working miracles, but they are corporately responsible by being connected with it. So they will share in the punishment, but not necessarily be thrown in the lake of fire at this point in time. Now I'm jumping ahead here. At the close of the 1,000 years, you have the lake of fire encompassing the entire world. And it says they're thrown into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. So here's 1,000 years. And the beast and the false prophet are still in that lake. Now, you can say they've been burnt to ashes by then. So their ashes are in the lake. But it brings out the context that are they burning for 1,000 years until the millennium is over and the rest of the laity are now sharing their fate? Or are they just ashes by that time?
I think of a merciful God who probably allowed them to burn up after a certain amount of time. And I think they might just be ashes, but a fire has to have something to burn. So is it burning up everything in the earth? Is it burning up the soil and all the water's gone? What is it burning up besides the beast and the false prophet?
Yeah, I understand. And that's why I mentioned that it's just a small lake of fire, because Ellen White talks about what Lucifer endures during the 1,000 years. And nowhere in that does she say that he's burning in that lake. But she says that he's able to wander the length and breadth of the earth and see nothing but destruction. And he recognizes that's his fault. So the lake that's burning on the earth has to be contained in a small area, because otherwise Lucifer would not be able to travel the length and breadth of the earth and see the destruction of cities and the wastelands and, you know, no animals are alive. The birds that were feasting have finally run out of food to feast on, so they feast on themselves, and finally there's nothing left. So that lake of fire has to be contained somewhere on the earth and not allowed to burn it all up.
Maybe like a volcano.
Oh, I see now, bro. I was trying to grasp what you were getting at. So you're saying that there's a lake of fire, small, burning over the 1,000 years. That's a different concept. I've not heard of that, but I'm grateful you shared that. I guess I was taking it quite symbolically, in the sense that ultimately it mentions both the flesh of all them are going to cop it, flesh of kings in verse 18, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses. Got a lot of people covered there. I'm just looking at verse 17. And you've got all those people. And then, of course, as you brought out, it's says the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, the beast representing a system, the false prophet representing a system, all apostate. Spiritualism's there in the mix, which is brought out in other chapters, but the false prophet wrought miracles, deceived them which had received the mark of the beast. So there's that distinguishing factor. I never looked at that as continuing to burn throughout the 1,000 years. That's a new concept. In ashes, of course. you can't burn for that long. You know, there's nothing left, as Sister Joan was bringing up. But, I have not seen it that way. I mean, what a punishment awaits, you know, especially that special resurrection of the wicked. They cop it twice. They get it at Christ's second coming, cop it. And then you have, and that's another concept which I think is interesting too, is the fact that, is it Revelation 1:7? It says that, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. So they're going to cop it as well. And along with Spirit of Prophecy brings out those that have fought against Christ the most throughout centuries. But they're not mentioned there, because some of them will be part of the beast system, but none of them's technically part of the false prophet, apostate Protestantism, who lived before that term came to be a living reality in our world today, which is another interesting concept. But I see now what you're saying. I'd have to look into more into that. And I'm thankful that you shared, and Sister Joan, your comments.
Yeah, what led me to that idea is after the thousand years, the lake of fire, it's the same lake. Because it says they're thrown into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. So it's the same lake. It's now just enlarged to fill the entire world.
That makes me think of volcanoes. I mean, there's a lake of fire underneath the ground, and it erupts every once in a while. We can see it, like when we look at Kilauea and some of those other volcanoes that are erupting every once in a while. For that lava to come out, there has to be a big lake of fire there.
Brother, I was the supplement to Sister Joanne's volcano. I was now imagining what I have experienced and seen in the city of Goma. Goma is seated on burning magma down beneath the earth deep. So I believe the whole earth may be on a lake of fire. Down in the midst of it, there is burning magma that can at any time explode and the whole earth is destroyed. There's also another point along in Homa Bay, Kenya, on Lake Victoria, where there's burning water on a certain point. You don't need to boil, but the water is boiling throughout, and there's a hole. When you put there something, you just blow just hot water, meaning there is some fire down beneath. So I believe to our God the Almighty, getting a lake of fire is something very simple to him, and the whole earth can be destroyed in a moment. And I believe sin will be destroyed very fast, as they so believe in the lake of fire, the earth can be turned. Because some years back, there were some volcanoes in Goma, and over a very large area, when you go there, you find those dried up magma, the stones that came out burning very hot, have now cooled, and you can't grow anything there, but you find the very dark stones around there dried on top for a very big span of coverage. So when they talk of a lake of fire, I also sometimes believe on the surface of the earth, humanity is seated on something very hot underneath the ground, which will eventually turn into a lake of fire, like you can have a lake of lakes or water. So similar to what happened during the flood, in as much as rain was, raining came, but then there was also underground water that came out to flood the whole earth. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, bro and brethren, sharing your comments on this. That brings me to the, Lucy and I were just having this conversation a couple of weeks ago, actually, chapter 20, verse 9. We were reading it, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and encompassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. So it was the fire that came from heaven that devoured them. But of course, verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are is in italics, so it's not there in the original, but it seems to make sense there, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So we're asking ourselves the question, is it both? Is it lake of fire and fire from heaven? Or is the fire from heaven what makes the lake of fire? Has anyone found any specifics, perhaps, that they can share? It's no doubt, I know I put it down as a homework when I get to the verses, which is probably a number of weeks away, but has anyone found anything that sort of, is it the fire from heaven that creates? I know the spirit of prophecy does bring out the second coming, that he uses even the lake of fire after the 1,000 years, that I'd have to look at it, actually. It's been a while since I looked at it. But anything anyone wants to share further? We'll leave it at verse 21 for this week.
Well, in the last sentence of verse 20, these both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. When you go to Yellowstone National Park in the U.S., you smell a lot of sulfur. It smells like rotten eggs. And brimstone is an element, but it's much greater than the sulfur. Elder Rob can tell you about brimstone and how hot it is. These fires have to be very hot to burn everything up. So they talk about Yellowstone being one big cauldron, which usually refers to the inside of a volcano. They have a, like Kilauea, they showed pictures of the eruption of Kilauea. And Kilauea is in Hawaii, and it's a big mountain that has a crater in it. And when it erupted, that whole crater was filled with fire. It looked like a big lake.
I was also imagining again once that the invisible teaches us how mighty our Lord is. Now we just see something burning, like maybe Sajuan is explaining the crater lake. You cannot see what I mean in fire, but you see hot water rising and I mean boiling. Meaning there is something similar to fire underneath. So all those teach us how mighty our Lord is.
Well, I'm looking forward to more homework. thank you for your comments and input. This is exciting. Looking forward to nearly getting up to chapter 20 of Revelation. That's going to be a revelation in itself, isn't it? Looking forward to that. More points that you found, each of you in your studies. Looking forward to it. So next week we'll pick it up. We'll go over, review what we've looked at and pick it up from verse 22, from verse 21 on to Revelation 20, Lord willing. Are there any testimonies, any songs, any requests, any prayer, praises anyone would like to share? Please feel free to share.
Yes, good evening, everybody, and good morning, James and Lucy. I want to thank the Lord that He has been so merciful and kind unto us. Yesterday I wished to check on my brother Male, and what excited me was him practicing his leg to move a number of times in the house on the veranda, making it get used to stepping on the ground. You know, for 2 months he had not been moving. But now, can now again use the veil they had promised to cut off on the ground, and he was now using his house veranda inside the house to move around for 30 minutes in a day, and that was very great to me, and I praise God that he can restore, life to whoever he wishes, and he can build up our health. And this is as a result of my simple instructions from the herbal medics and from your prayers and instructions from the president all around. So we still have him now strong and he can now move. I believe time to come he will have a story to tell and give testimony for the Lord, to the Lord, and before us that one time his leg was going to be cut off and now he has it still. By God's grace. Two, our dear brethren are holding an effort, some like 180 kilometers from here where I am in Kampala, and Brother Kenneth, George, Kenneth, and Azza Chebusa, are getting it. So I only pray that you put them in the prayers, because yesterday they were telling me power is their biggest problems. They were failing to connect and it could come on, off. It was not stable. But otherwise, the evangelistic campaign is going on well. They are trying to move around and give out some few booklets and tracts around, and in the evening, they conduct a public meeting and people come. So I want to encourage that you put them in prayer so that everything goes well. Soon, probably by Monday, I'll be joining them because it's a 2 week campaign. This is the first week. I started on Sunday. So we are pushing on. I believe I'll be joining them because they wanted me to catch the heresy messages of the projector, which I'll be doing soon. Thank you for your prayers and for standing with us in every other meeting. God bless you all.
Thank you, dear bro. Thank you for letting us know. Our brother, praise the Lord, you're able to find out how he's going and that he's reached the physiotherapy part of recovery. We will keep that in prayer, that he makes a full recovery. Continue to keep it in prayer. And sounds exciting, the campaign you've got going. Fantastic. The little campaign I had was this Monday. Got 10 great controversies out near Lucy's place. I dropped her off at her home for the day. And I got to give 10 great controversies, which was great. Got to hear from James the JW, who is not interested in giving up eisegesis. He wants to continue. He doesn't want to be an exegete like Jesus Christ and get meaning out of the text, rather putting meaning into the text, which his denomination is in earnest over. So that was the end of Brother James, but what a blessing. You know, we need all kinds of experiences for the people we're going to meet and people we know we're going to meet and those we don't know. And I'm reminded of a dear Muslim, Muhammad, who came up to me at the swap meet last Sunday and he said, "James, hello." And I said, I wished him a happy new year. And he said, "Well, It's not really, but I know what you mean. I said, you mean not in the Muslim calendar? He said, that's right. We go by the Hagira. And I said, I know. Well, I listened to the whole Quran, Muhammad. It took 18 hours and 24 minutes to be exact. Probably went a bit more because it was on YouTube and you have to reverse it a little sometimes. And it was, we were talking about various things. He so wants me to be a Muslim, and I so want him to be a Christian. And we see that in one another in our conversations. And I hope they're kept up. I hope he doesn't think that he knows so much that he's got nothing more to learn. And it was very interesting. I hope that these meetings keep happening with him, this dear fellow Muhammad. Thank you for keeping Lucy in prayer. She is with me. She's been with me for, 2 weeks now. Would that be right? Yeah. And so I've been working on Truth is Truth articles for the magazine and a couple of other things. And so grateful to be able to be out of the sun. It is a bit hot at times, but it also is good to be in it as well, as you do get to meet some interesting people at that time. Are there any prayers or praises further anyone would like to share and request before we have a season of prayer? Please feel free to share. Well, indeed, we will keep that in prayer. Yeah, bro. Why don't we have a season of prayer? If anyone's impressed to pray, please feel free, and I shall go last.
Most kind Father, we thank you once again for this wonderful moment that we are able to wake up and raise up. We come before you to commit our lives unto you. Lord, forgive us wherever we have come short and erred. We pray that may your blood be sprinkled onto our lives, that we may be able to enlighten others, and that you may be forgiven for life and eternity. Lord, we know we are living in the very last days of this as history. That is our kind earnest prayer, to be among those you save. When Christ comes the second time on the cross of the earth, we be removed from this earth. We have learned a lot about the burning fire to live over a lake. It creates sinfulness, great fear in us that we must find the refuge. And our refuge is in Jesus Christ. We now get grip on you that we may be saved. We commit all those who are sickly among us. Marie's family, Lucy, and all those we have not known but they are suffering. Lord, heal them, that they may know that you are a mighty God. Doctor, without you, they may not have life. Also, in a special way, put our meeting running in Ibsessa. Lord, send the Holy Spirit to touch everyone's lip who is going to speak before the congregation, before the people. Soften the hearts of those who are going to hear, and implore to influence those who are receiving tracts and booklets within the location. It's our honest prayer that let the church be established there and let your name be known among the heathen, and may all who will hear become brethren for heaven to come. Thank you, O Lord, that you really hear us. Because we have many things to ask you, But at the moment, you may not be able to mention. Provide whatever you see fitting for us, and that you may use it for your own glory. We thank you, Lord, for this online virtual church. Continue to provide wisdom and means that and above may maintain it, to give us a depiction of the home to come in heaven. We thank you, and we pray in Jesus' name.
Dear Father in heaven, thank you for sending Lucy back to be with us. We missed her. Thank you for answering our prayers. Thank you for putting mysteries in front of us and helping us to find out what the answers are. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that helps interpret your word and bring it to our understanding, and for the answers to prayers that we haven't even said yet, but are buried deep in our souls. Be with each one of us this week. Be with those who have lost their homes in the floods and landslides, and give us the courage and strength to believe your words when you say, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. We trust what you say because you're a God of truth, a God of mercy, and a God of love. Thank you so much for this time when we can fellowship together and learn more and ask more questions. And most of all, thank you for being a God of love that did not spare your own son, but both of you agreed to save us for eternity, all of those that believe in the truth, in your word. Be with those of us who will be resting tonight, and be with those who are in the daylight. Keep them safe. Help us to have a good rest. And thank you for doing this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And precious Father in heaven, thank you for continued access to the internet so we can hear from brothers and sisters and share insights and experiences and testimonies and praises and prayers and songs and words of encouragement, of hope that we all need to power forward, because we are really having the last message of mercy given to the world. And it's not just that, it's always been the joy that we are to be the happiest people on earth. It doesn't mean we don't get sad over things if it's in righteousness. But we are the happiest because we understand your will. We understand the real history of this world, the real history of the universe, and where we are and where it is all tending. We thank you for allowing our dear brother Mally to reach the stage, or perhaps he's been this way for a while, to have physiotherapy. May he be successful in the exercises to bring him back to as close to normal, if not perfectly normal, in your timing, but not without the hope of it being very quickly. for the full recovery. And we're grateful that you've preserved him, that he continues to have his foot. We know that really can really set people back losing such. And we're thankful that you've preserved him. We believe in you, Jesus, as the dear sister has said, Dr. Jesus, that you are over him, that you're watching him. You are carefully sending blessings his way so that he can make full recovery. And especially for all of us spiritually, that we might rise higher than yesterday and not rely on stale bread of the word of God from past experiences, but must have a living experience just as you're living forever, relying on you now, not in past experience, but rejoicing in what you've done in the past, but believing and trusting with repenting faith in your power to save us from ourselves, from our sins, and from our past failures. We uphold dear brethren and sisters that have a lot of responsibilities and that can affect them in physically in negative ways, that you would help continue to sustain them in the great influence that they have, influences that they have in that, in your cause, that they would continue to be the bright lights that they are for your cause, and that we would all in prayer keep one another in prayer, knowing that if we don't, we will die ourselves. We will eventually, if all we, to put it the opposite way, if all we did was pray, eventually we know we would stop praying. To be in an active praying, watching, working, waiting attitude. We pray that it be maintained and we would increase in sufficiency. And we thank you for the joys that come to our minds and hearts when we see people for the first time asking questions about present truth or just any truth that's according to the word of God that will save their souls when they receive it and apply it and allow the Holy Spirit to work in their hearts and minds. Continue to do this for them and help us encourage it in others to enter the controversy closer with other people in a loving way, but nevertheless that it would be seen, Holy Spirit, it's because we love them that we're doing it. It's not because we hate them and we want to win an argument, but because we want Satan to lose his subjects. We want Satan to lose the character that he's forming in others, preparing them for destruction that he will one day meet as well. Thank you, as Sister mentioned, for insights into what little we've read today. And I'm so glad we had the time to go through Daniel and Revelation verse by verse. It just continues to expand. I'm sure all of us could probably say, think about all of what we looked at. Wow, we could just go over it again and add all sorts of things and perhaps delete a few things and have a clearer picture of what the Spirit saith unto the churches, both in character and prophetic happenings, and also in other teachings that come from other books of the Bible. Bless our brothers and sisters as they prepare for bed, and those of us who have sunlight hours before us to make the very best use of it, not relying on ourselves and any merits that are not really merits in your sight, but on Jesus and his merits and what you have given us the power to do, to work with you, Jesus, in full faith and trust, and work alongside you as co-laborers. Thank you for hearing and answering the prayers of all your children around the world simultaneously and meeting the needs perfectly. Help us remove any obstructions that we have in the way that's stopping you from working more perfectly in us. And thank you for your mercy to this end. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen and amen. Are there any final thoughts, takeaways anyone would like to share? Well, perhaps this is a fitting leaving song. God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. Loving counsels guide, uphold you. May the shepherd's care enfold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet. God be with you till we meet again.
Do we want to sing verse 2? Thank you.
God be with you till we meet again. Unseen wings protecting I knew. Daily manna still provide you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, God be with you till we meet again.
God be with you till we meet again. When life's perils thick confound you, put unfailing arms around you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet again.
Amen. God be with you till we meet again. Keep love's banner floating o'er you. Smite death's threatening wave before you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet at Jesus' feet, till we till we meet, till we meet. God be with you, God be with you, God be with you till we meet again. Amen. No matter what happens, as long as we're in Jesus, we can say that with full assurance. It's been a privilege to be with you. Thank you for singing in the background, sis. Haven't had that for a while. You've made up for our dear Luce until she comes by again. It's been a privilege to be with you again, and I'm looking forward to seeing you all on Sabbath. And even dear Luce might be up for an appearance. No comment. So we'll see how we go. But what a blessing you're getting fresh rain from heaven, Brother Dick. Would you like to finish us off or sing us away?
Finish us off. Oh, let's see. I got to check paper on it. If looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.